Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Good morning, and a warm welcome from me. Thank you, Ben. Ben's going to put something on the screen for me. So we're continuing our series with Journeying with Abraham. It's been a fabulous series so far. I was fortunate enough to kick the series off. And one of the things that I do on a Sunday morning when I'm sat where you guys are is I take notes. And I take notes on my phone, actually. So if you've seen me in the past, you're thinking, who's he texting in the middle of the service? I'm actually taking notes on my phone. And the reason why I do that is then, as you know, during my working week, I tend to be away quite a lot, which allows me then to listen to the podcast of what's gone on and then go back into my phone and say, oh, actually, yeah, that's really interesting. I can build on that thought. And I've done that this week, built on what Joe shared with us last week, which I thought was a really powerful message. So, you know, go ahead. If you're using your phones, tablets, I can't think of... actually, a bit of rustling paper for a change. Goodness me, old school notepad. I would encourage you, because I've found that... I'm going to have to move this chair. It's getting in the way. I've found that actually the journey with Abraham, this hero of faith, this great man of God, you know, in Hebrews, he's under the title in Hebrews 11 of the a man of faith, a hero of faith. He's got like half a dozen verses written about him along with the rest of the heroes. And I've held Abraham in great esteem. You know, he's like this sort of this untouchable. It's like one of the Marvel comics heroes. But actually, as I've got deeper into his life and learned more from him through this series, I'm recognizing that Abraham was a man just like me. With all the frailties, with all the indecision, with all the failings, but also a man like me with triumphs, with an ability to demonstrate a faith in God in those moments when you just can't quite work out what God is saying to you or doing, or things around you aren't quite working. A faith in God. And I thank God that this example of Abraham is giving me a new lease of life, I suppose, a refreshing and some reassurance of God's love and grace for us. So as I said last week, I was really struck by what Joe had to say. And actually, right at the very end, there was this call for action. And if you remember, there was a table. He placed a table at the front and there were some post-it notes. And he called us up to write some stuff down, some prayers down, because he was reminding us of how God continually promised Abraham through chapters 15, 16, 17, 18 of Genesis. The promises of that God had placed on Abraham's life of a nation. You know, I love that. That was something that I Googled fairly recently, was Abraham's promises. And up comes this family tree. You know, and I think it probably goes on a little bit further. I couldn't get it all on the page. But you know what? Isn't that a wonderful demonstration of God's promises? And I'm going to leave that up this morning because I feel that we've all got promises that God has placed on our lives. And maybe through prayers of faith, we're not seeing them happen. And so actually what I've learned through studying this week about prayers of faith have been some key things that I've learned from Abraham's life. Some of them which are really encouraging and some are a little bit challenging. Even this week, I wrote something down actually personally last week. And I love calls to action. And I think that was a really good call to action which Joe gave us last week, with just writing down a personal prayer of faith. You know, what has God's promise for our lives? And I wrote something down personally. And on one of my regular walks, during the day without a dog this week, but just by myself, which was a bit random. We borrow a dog from time to time. So it looks all right when I'm walking in Abergynolwyn. They think, oh, he's walking his dog. But when I'm walking by myself, it's kind of, what's this random guy doing? When I was walking this week, God stopped me. And he said, listen. And I was stood in Abergynolwyn Gorge. It's a lovely gorge. It's got waterfalls. The water's rushing through. It's a fabulous spot. I'm very blessed to be living there. And I remember just stood there, and God just went through what has even happened since I wrote down on that piece of paper. And it was kind of that moment where we read in Genesis 15 that Abraham said, oh, sovereign, so, you know, Genesis 15, I'm going to start at verse 1. Sometime later, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Genesis 15, verse 1. We're going to go through this a little bit. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him, do not be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you and your reward will be great. But Abraham replied, oh, sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own. So one of my servants will be my heir. Then the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. And this is the bit, you know, this is where God stopped me in that gorge in Abergynolwyn as I was walking last week. Then the Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. Bam, on the screen. Abraham's promise. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And God took me. And I just want to just encourage you all this today. If we're praying into something, pray with faith, believing that it's going to happen, and then stop. And listen. Because God will reveal his promises that are going to come. And I was amazed by it. I really was. I was just like, wow, God is metaphorically showing me the stars in the sky today. It was fabulous. Anyway, moving on. So, Genesis, we're going to dip in and out of Genesis 15 and 18 this morning. And like I say, we're focused on time, which is really good for me. Because I could be here all day talking about this subject. I think you can see that. I'm very full. Sort of, in the immortal words of someone who was at Glastonbury a couple of weeks ago, I'm buzzing about Abraham at the moment. It's a great topic and one that we can learn so much about. But Genesis 15, 1 to 3, 1, Genesis, we're going to be in and out of Genesis 15 and 18. Okay. So like I said, there's some key takeaways here about prayers of faith. And that's the topic today, prayers of faith. Faith-filled prayers, however you want to frame that, those words. And as we look at some of these things, as I pointed out, you know, Abraham goes back to God. God's promised him in chapter 15, verse 1. Do not be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you and I will reward you with, your reward will be great. We know that God has promised to Abraham, a descendants that you cannot count. But Abraham at this moment is an old guy. He's got an old wife. And the chances of having a child are looking rather slim. So one of the things that I'm keen to sort of reflect on is how Abraham responds to God's promise, this constant reminder that God has given him. You know, it's like sometime later, the Lord spoke, do not be afraid, Abraham, as we see in verse 1. Abraham responds, and I think this is a challenge for us all, to recognize the relationship that God wants us to have with him, that we can step into him with. It's a trusting relationship. It's a questioning relationship. It's a relationship that God wants to have. It's a two-way conversation. But it's respectful. So in verse 2, Abraham replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son?" So he sounds pretty miserable there, bit fed up. So first thing, key takeaway for prayers of faith, to help us keep encouraging us, to be reassured that what we're praying about will, those promises will come to pass, will keep us going. It's a marathon, it's not a sprint, it's that journey of finishing well. The first thing that jumped out to me in these verses was, "O sovereign Lord," Abraham's demonstrating his respect, but also his belief in the sovereignty of God, who can give anything. It's like me asking the Queen, "Oh, Your Majesty, could you give me a stretch of coastline near Aberdeen?" Now, I think, if I'm right, the Crown Estate, which the Queen owns all the coastline in the UK. I might be wrong. Is that? I don't know. Anyway, but it's a bit like, and she can grant it to me. That's a promise that the Lord, so the wording that Abraham uses is around the sovereignty of God, the ability that God can grant anything. So that's number one, okay? But it's a respect. It's a respect. It's respecting that who God is. It's that faith-filled acknowledgement that God has a position that he can grant anything. And then as we explore more, it says, he asks God, he responds back to God with quite a challenge, saying, "Well, God, how can this happen? I've got no children. I don't live in a land where I've got any home. How are you, all these promises you're giving me, but I can't see it?" Again, what I've picked up, and this is a takeaway for us, is ask God, remind him, "Well, you've promised me this." Now, I don't know why God doesn't answer prayer, folks. I'm not here. This is not a five-step solution. Because underpinning all this is that faith in God, in a God that we're reminded of in the New Testament, a God who, when we're reminded, and I paraphrase, that if your earthly father will give you a good gift, won't your heavenly father give you even something better? So that's an underlying faith. So this isn't like a five-step program to success and well-being. This is a reality. But I really want to just, this is something that I've drawn out and I want to share this week. Ask God. Remind God of what he's promised you. Be specific. But also, as we see, and something that I've picked up from Abraham, he's kind of logical about it as well. He's saying, I really don't get this. I'm old, my wife's old, we don't live in the land which we're an established family. I can't see it happening. He's gone through a logical process. He's kind of taken a bit of the emotion out. And I think sometimes emotion of a situation can cloud and stop us hearing what God wants to say to us. So those are two things. Acknowledging the sovereignty of God. Two, ask God. Remind God of what his promises are for us and be specific and logical. And then, just like I've had to do this week, the third point is stop. I am going on. That was a pause. You know, it was like those dramatic pauses. But there was not a gasp of, stop. Listen. Listen. Even now, God wants to talk to someone, talk to us all. Even now, God, in this place, wants to talk to us, to reassure us, to say, keep going. the promises that I have on your life are going to exceed all your expectations, are going to be better, so much better than you originally thought. I mean, I think, you know, when Abraham was given Isaac, he kind of thought, well, that's great. But then we see that from Abraham and Isaac, we get this family tree that, you know, wow. That moment when God takes Abraham out and shows him the stars in the sky, and countless. That's the gods, that's the promises. But to hear God, we do need to stop and we do need to listen. And then we need to act. We need to act on what God has told us. And for me, that was this week, just saying, you know what? I've acknowledged what you've shown me, God. I've acknowledged what I'm hearing from you. And I'm acknowledging what I'm seeing. And I'm going to thank you, God. I'm going to praise you, God, for what you have given me. And I'm going to believe. I'm going to grow. I'm going to build on this foundation of what I've experienced in this moment in Abergynolwyn Gorge. I'm going to build on that. I'm going to grow on that. I'm not going to keep dipping back into those places where I feel more comfortable of, oh God, you promised me this, but I haven't got it yet. No, I'm going to stand up and start being a bit more of a victor in victory rather than as the victim and say, actually, God, I remember that moment. And what we see in Abraham's life about faith is that whenever he had one of those moments, he kind of placed an altar. He created something, a visual representation of God's promise or a connection with God at that place. Now, don't worry. Abergynolwyn Gorge is safe at this moment in time of me building some sort of mad altar. But it's a special place, and I go there a lot, you know. And so it's a good reminder, and God gives us those. So don't worry, you won't encounter some strange altar in Abergynolwyn Gorge. I would probably get really into a load of trouble by the local authority for doing that. But I think it's important. Let's acknowledge and thank God and move on from that. Move on physically. Okay, so two more things. So at the moment we've got recognizing God's sovereignty, respecting God for who he is and what he can do. Build on faith. Ask God, remind God and be specific. And then stop, listen, and act upon what God has done. I just want us to quickly jump into Genesis 18. I'm conscious of time. Genesis 18, verses 22 to 33. There's a lot of verses there, so I'm going to paraphrase. Some homework there, folks, for us all to take away. Definitely part of the house group questions this week. But here we have God turns up in the flesh. How about that? My goodness me. I am prepared. We're getting some new crockery. God, come after Wednesday next week when we've got the new crockery out at the Hodges household in next week. But be prepared for God's visitation. And here we go. You know, God turns up physically and starts to talk to Moses. Abraham. Goes through a process. Reassuring. Constantly saying, within a year, you know, he promises, within a year today, your wife will have given birth. Isn't that amazing? Abraham must be like, wow, this is the best dinner guest I've ever had. And then in Genesis 18, what we then see is that Abraham uses his relationship with God, his connection with God, his willingness to be able to discuss and to challenge God over the protection of Lot and the city of Sodom. Now, we know the story of Sodom. We've heard a couple of weeks ago from Ian Harrison about that and all the filth and dirt and decay of that place and God's judgment on that place. But in verses 18, in chapter 18, Genesis 18, verses 22 to 33, what we see here is another prayer of faith of Abraham pleading with God for his goodness to be shown and poured out on the city of Sodom. But what you then see is, as you go through this, it starts off with a grand plan. Come on, God, save the lot. Oh, okay, that's not God's not going to buy into that. Okay, well, but save 50. Oh, no, he's not buying into that one. Save 30, save 20. And then you come down to the fact that God will, you know, we come to a point where Abraham and God, their Mexican standoff is finished. What I've learned from this is God wants us to have a relationship that is two-way. God wants us to have that moment where he's like your, you know, he is your heavenly Father. He wants us to have that relationship which is open, which is trusting. And in Genesis 18, like I say, we see this relationship of Abraham being quite stubborn. And in one commentary, it talks about Abraham being stubborn and wrestling with God. Now, we know that other people who've wrestled with God come off with a bit of a sore hip. Yeah. As we know in, I think it's Jacob. But here we go. This is something that I'm learning, is that it might not go our way to start off with, but God's way is the best way. God knew what had to happen to Sodom. God knew what happened to happen as in order to create, to cleanse that place. But he was willing to go through that process, that prayer of faith with Abraham to reassure him that God's plan and purpose for that place was the right thing. So stubborn. Be stubborn and wrestle with God. Recognize that it's okay. My dad, bless his soul, he was a minister for a while, and he encountered some really challenging things as a minister. And I always remember him, one of his best mates died. And we prayed and prayed and prayed about this guy. And it was tragic. It was so sad. And I just want to end. And we prayed for this man. And it really shook the church. And it shook this young wife who had some, the young wife of the guy who died, and his family. And I remember Dad saying to this lady, she was, go home and get cross. Get cross with God. He won't mind. He won't mind because he is your heavenly Father, and that's an emotion that he needs you to release and to be part of. And to wrestle with God and ask him, what's happening? Where's my destiny? I thought my life was with this guy. And that bit of advice of getting cross, you know, it's not a disrespect. It's saying, God, come on. I'm going to wrestle with you because I need an answer here. And that builds our faith. A faith that is built on a trusting relationship with a God who loves us. Because we know he loves us because he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus so that I can stand here, saved, redeemed, and know that I'm going to heaven. Isn't that great? So as we see from this picture on the wall, from Abraham's wrestling, from his questioning, from his stubbornness, from his absolute recognition and faith that God is sovereign over all things, we know that God delivers his promises. There isn't a magic formula on this, folks. I've said that. This isn't James Hodges' 10-step plan to health, well-being, and a prosperous life. It doesn't work like that. We know that following Jesus requires us to take up a cross daily. It requires us to work through those challenging personal situations with faith-filled prayer that helps build relationship with God. But learning from the example from Abraham, I would encourage us all, just as I have this week, just this last week, been really encouraged to at least apply one of these key things into our lives. Recognizing God's sovereign, asking God, reminding God, being specific, stopping, listening and acting, being willing to be stubborn and wrestle with God, and to build that trusting relationship with God that encourages us to question and ask and seek. So I would just encourage us all to at least try one thing this week. Act upon it. Because who knows? You might join me in Abergnoin Gorge this week, looking up at the stars and seeing your promises being revealed. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Abraham. Thank you for the example that he is. Thank you for the life lessons that he teaches us. Thank you for the relationship that Abraham had with you, and that is more than available to us because of the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus came, and that was your promise. And that's a promise for us all, that whoever loves you, acknowledges you as their Saviour, can have eternal life. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.